Let's read together the second half of Isaiah chapter 65 and then Isaiah 66, which completes the book of Isaiah. Here we have a number of details about the future millennial kingdom of Christ. Let's read the second half of Isaiah 65, beginning with verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Let's begin our study of this last section of Isaiah with some background notes. In the first half of Isaiah chapter 65, we had the Lord's response to Isaiah's prayer on behalf of Israel, the prayer that was contained in Isaiah chapter 63 and 64. Now here in the last section of Isaiah, we have more details concerning that blessed future when the Lord returns. So here in Isaiah chapter 65 and 66, we have a number of details about the millennium. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this last portion of Isaiah. So doctrinal point number one, the millennium will merge with eternity. The millennium will merge with eternity. Question, does the term new heavens and new earth refer to the millennium or the eternal state? Answer, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 21, it would appear that it refers to the eternal state. Well, why then does Isaiah seem to use that term here in verse 17 for the millennium? Answer, as we've mentioned before, when Isaiah and other prophets look to the future, many times future events are fused together from their perspective, and only with the future revelation of the New Testament do we see that the millennium is distinct and precedes the new heavens and the new earth. So here in Isaiah 65, Isaiah looks forward and sees the details of the millennial kingdom of Christ, which will lead up to and merge with the new heavens and new earth of the eternal state. In the millennium, the effects of the curse will be greatly lifted, but not completely removed, as they will be in the new heavens and new earth, according to Revelation 21, 4, which says there will be no more death or dying. In the millennium, there will be death, but people will live a lot longer, like trees, verse 20. The millennium will be a great time of peace and prosperity, verses 21 through 23. In the millennium, hindrances and barriers to prayer will be removed, verse 24. Now, verse 24 can certainly be applied by believers today in the light of the rest of Scripture, but in context, it is in reference to the millennium. In the millennium, the dangers of the natural world will be removed, as even the animal world will be at peace. Verse 25. The millennium is not the new heavens and the new earth, but the millennium will merge with eternity. Doctrinal point number two, the millennium will follow judgment. The millennium will follow judgment. Isaiah chapter 66, the first six verses. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull is as he who slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb, as he who breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering, as he who offers swine's blood, he who burns incense, as if he blesses an idol. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord, who fully repays his enemies. The point of these verses is that ritualistic religion, apart from true worship of the Lord from the heart, is detestable and despicable before the Lord. Verses 1 through 3. Going to the temple means nothing. Slaying sacrifices becomes like murder. Sacrificial lambs and grain offerings become like unclean dogs and pig's blood. Burning incense becomes idolatry. Now, this rebuke has plenty of application for people who practice ritualistic religion today. Because of these sins, as well as the sin of persecuting the godly remnant, God would judge these followers of ritualistic religion. Verses 4 through 6. Now, this judgment of verse 6 would not only be with the coming destruction of the city and the temple by the Babylonians and later the Romans, but also in the future when the Lord returns in judgment at the end of the tribulation period. It will be as when the Lord cleansed the temple and threw out the money changers involved in corrupt worship. Only then can peace and blessing of the Lord's millennial kingdom be established. The millennium will follow judgment. And doctrinal point number 3, the millennium will favor restored Israel. The millennium will favor restored Israel. Isaiah 66, verses 7 through 14. Let's read verses 7 through 9. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb, says your God? The she in these verses, we see in verse 8, is Zion, that is Jerusalem, the capital of the nation of Israel. Now notice that before she travailed, she gave birth to a male child, singular, verse 7. And when she travailed, she gave birth to children or sons, plural, verse 8. The time of Israel's travailing will culminate with the tribulation period of the future, called the time of Jacob's trouble, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. So before that time of travailing, Israel gave birth to a male child, singular, obviously the Messiah. And when she travails, Israel will give birth to children or sons, plural. This will be the restored Israel of the future, coming out of the tribulation period and entering the millennium. Both the land and the nation will be restored. Verse 8. Now in verses 10 through 14, we have a highly figurative description of the blessings of the millennium when restored Israel will be favored. The millennium will favor restored Israel. And doctrinal point number 4, the millennium will distinguish the sheep from the goats. The millennium will distinguish the sheep from the goats. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, we read that when the Lord returns to this earth at the end of the tribulation period, he will gather together all nations for judgment. This judgment is known as the judgment of the sheep and the goats. Now, the sheep and the goats in this judgment are not the nations themselves, but individuals within the nations. The sheep are the saved, and the goats are the lost. Now, notice how this ties together with what we have here in this final chapter of Isaiah. Let's read verses 15 through 18, where we have the return of the Lord and the judgment of the ungodly, not only in Israel, but in all the nations. For behold, the Lord will come with fire to render his anger with fury. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Notice how all nations are gathered in verse 18, as we have in Matthew chapter 25. The judgment of the sheep and the goats. Now in verse 19 of Isaiah 66, we have the sheep, that is the saved Gentiles who enter the millennial kingdom, going out to the far corners of this world to declare the glory of the Lord and his kingdom to Jew and Gentile alike. Verse 19, I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escaped I will send to the nations, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Now this is not the worldwide witness of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists of the tribulation period. No, this is the worldwide witness of the saved Gentiles, that is the sheep, after the return of the Lord. Now we don't know what the supernatural sign of verse 19 will be, but it seems to imply some miraculous manifestation confirming this ministry. And the saved Gentiles will help the saved Jews return to Jerusalem to become part of the restored Israel. Verse 20, then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Now verse 21, and I will also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. The some of them in verse 21 may refer to Gentiles, but probably refers to the great number of saved Jews who have returned to Jerusalem for the start of the millennial kingdom. In any case, we see in verses 22 and 23 that throughout the thousand-year millennial kingdom and on into eternity, both saved Jews and saved Gentiles will worship the Lord. Now verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Now, verse 24 may be a reference to the goats of Matthew chapter 25. That is, the living unbelievers who are judged at the end of the tribulation period and given the death penalty, and obviously do not enter the millennial kingdom. This last verse of Isaiah 66 is not an easy verse of scripture to interpret. But one thing is sure, the millennium will distinguish the sheep from the goats. What about practical application for this last portion of Isaiah? Don't confuse interpretation and application. A number of commentators refer Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24, this last verse, to the eternal state because of the Lord's quotation of the last part of this verse in reference to hell in Mark chapter 9, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. But we believe the Lord is making an application of Isaiah 66, 24 in Mark chapter 9. The Lord illustrated the terrible conditions of hell by his reference to the continual fires of the worm-infested dumping grounds in the valley of Hinnom or Gehenna outside Jerusalem. We don't believe that Isaiah 66, verse 24, is saying that forever in heaven, believers will view those who are suffering in hell. No. Don't confuse interpretation with application.